Now, tonight, you have to bear with the pastor. I've got one good eye and one that's not so good. So when you blend them both together, you have one good eye and one not so good. And the glasses are not up to power because they haven't given me a new update on my glasses yet. So if I put them on, everything's kind of looking a little blurry. But it helps. So why am I saying all of that? Because we'll read a lot of scriptures tonight. Amen? So I don't want to misquote any of the scriptures. But the foundational scripture tonight, out of Numbers chapter 17, verses 1 through 8. A great service Sunday morning, this past Sunday, moving of the presence of the Lord, baby dedication, tremendous message by Brother Justin. And I'm looking forward to the Lord tarries this coming weekend as well, having probably closed out on Sunday morning on the Vacation Bible School, looking for a great number of children being here and the events taking place. So we're praying that some of the parents would come as well on Sunday morning. Numbers chapter 17, I asked Brother Merchant if he would read that for me tonight, read it for us. If you would do so, Brother Merchant. Yes, you may.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and take of every one of them a rod according to the house of their fathers, of all their princes according to the house of their fathers, 12 rods. Write thou every man's name upon his rod. And thou shalt write Aaron's name upon the rod of Levi, for one rod shall be for the head of the house of their fathers. And thou shalt lay them in the tabernacle of the congregation before the testimony, where I will meet with you. And it shall come to pass that the man's rod, whom I shall choose, shall blossom. And I will make to cease from me the murmurings of the children of Israel, whereby they murmur against you. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, and every one of their princes gave him a rod apiece, for each prince one according to their father's houses, even 12 rods, and the rod of Aaron was among their rods. And Moses laid up the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. And it came to pass that on the morrow Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded, and brought forth buds, and bloomed blossoms, and yielded almonds.
And yielded almonds. Yielded almonds. Now this is a look into the possibilities of what God can do at any time, at any moment. There's times that I'm not comfortable with a statement that is often made when it says God is getting ready to do something. Or in a service, you might have someone leading the service or a portion of service can say, well, God's getting ready to do something. The God that I know is always doing something. He can do it instantaneously. He's never getting ready to do it. He is doing it. He does things as if they were already in existence. Amen? So I'm looking at God in my heart the past few days as he can do anything he wants to do at any time he wants to do it. And the reason why I'm saying the fact is that he's not getting ready to do something. He's done it from the foundation of the world. Salvation, God doesn't get ready to give salvation. Salvation, he put in motion from the foundation of the world. Tells us in the Word of God that Jesus Christ was slain from the foundation of the world. It was in the mind of God. It was in the purpose of God to bring salvation to fallen humanity. I think that sometimes we get lost in the anticipation of waiting for answered prayer, the anticipation of what God can do we're believing him to accomplish. If we're not careful, when it doesn't happen, we lose a portion of our faith. We surely lose a portion of that anticipation. Well, I guess God will someday answer my prayer. I suppose that God will some moment, sometime, in his own time, decide to answer my prayer. God is always in a position to answer. What is the right position? One word, faith. Faith. Now, if I was to put a title to this tonight, it would be this, Almonds Overnight. Almonds Overnight. Now, almonds is one of my favorite foods. I keep a bag of raw almonds close to me most all the time. They're just good for you. Amen? Amen. Just like God is good for you.
Amen. Yes.
Like God can do anything he wants to do anytime he wants to do it. Amen? But I have to open up the bag. Them almonds are not going to jump out of my mouth. I'll make crunch on them. I may have those almonds with me right beside me, but they're not going to do me one bit of good until I open that bag up. Put my hand in there. It takes a little bit of you and me. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we have a portion of this, a big part of this, that requires you and me to do something about the faith. I believe that this is not just rhetoric, but I believe that we're living in one of the greatest hours the church has ever known. In the last days, I believe the church is living in the last hours of this last days of the church age that we're living in. I really believe that. God's doing right now things that he has never done before because we're believing him right now for things we've never believed him before. That's sort of a quizzical statement. What I need today, I may have not needed yesterday, but I need it today. So I'm believing God today for what I didn't know about yesterday. Life is like that. What you need today, he's able to supply today, make a way today. God maketh the way where there seemeth to be no way. When does he do it? He does it at the point in the day that you need it to be done. Amen? So we are realizing that God is waiting on us, not the other way around. We're not waiting on God for things in our lives, for the church as a whole. We're not waiting on God. God's waiting on us. Amen? All God's got to do, however he does it, he can do it. Amen? So when Moses first started out on his leadership role, the Bible said that it was God that did most of the talking. Tells us in the Old Testament that Moses perhaps was a stutterer. He stuttered a lot. When God sent him in to talk to Pharaoh in Egypt, he tried to argue with God that he couldn't speak. He couldn't do it right. But God will always do an end run around your excuses why you can't do this or can't do that. He gave Aaron the ability to speak for him. But we find the fact is that Moses was always relying upon God to do the talking. Five times in Scripture we find the phrase, and Moses did according to the word of the Lord. Whatever the word of God said, that's what Moses did. But somewhere along the line, Moses had a revelation and realized that. And I think we need to have a revelation too. Maybe you've already had it in your life. Maybe you need to rediscover it again. But he realized that I have been waiting for God to speak. I need to start doing some talking myself. Maybe you need to start doing some talking yourself. How's it going? I'm just waiting on the Lord to give me direction. That's good. Maybe we need to do some talking. Like, God, unless you otherwise tell me difference, I'm going to knock on this door. we'd send a team out, go knock on doors, or go down the street praying and so forth. And so maybe we need to say, God, I feel something in my heart. Maybe I need to go to Pierston. Well, that's awesome. First, Joe, you got to get in your car and you got to drive to Pierston. God's not going to pick you up and translate you to Pierston. You got to go through there and do that. Okay, God, what do we do next? No, we know what to do next. Amen. He that winneth souls are wise. So God has given us the wisdom, amen, who's living inside of you through the infilling of the Spirit of God. God. Come on, church. You have the Holy Ghost, Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God will lead us and guide us into all truth. But we had to have the initiative, amen, to speak faith, to walk in faith, and to move in faith. So we find in Exodus chapter 8 and verse 13, and the Lord did according to the word of Moses. Oh, what a reverse. Moses was waiting on God's word to speak. Now we find is that Moses speaks and God is doing things according to the word of Moses. He said, well, I can never do that. God's given you the ability to do that. Where do you think faith comes from? You speak things, you work and move in areas, and God simply backs you up in those areas that is righteous and according to his will and his purpose. I believe that what is happening in our generation is that the church is finally, I think, realizing that we can speak and some things come into existence and God will fulfill what we've asked him to do. How do you know that, Pastor? Are you sure about that? Yeah, he said, you have not because you... Now, how can we know that scripture and then we're afraid to ask? Come on, church. You have not because you... I don't know why God's not moving. Have you asked him to move?
Right there. There you go. Come on.
Yes. It was Moses waiting on God to speak and do all the talking and do all the directing in that area. And finally, it was God now listening to what Moses was saying. Yeah. Not that God is something that has, or he has to be obedient to what we're saying, but he's waiting for the act of faith to come from us, knowing that God is more than able to do exceedingly, abundantly, more than we can ask. Come on. So we're realizing that, as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9, verse 29, then touch he the eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. Now, how strong is your faith? How big is your faith? Where's your faith? As your faith is, according to your faith, be it unto you. If you came up after service tonight and said, Pastor, I need you to anoint and pray for me. You know the word of God. You know James chapter 5. If any among you are sick, let him call the elders of the church to pray over them, knowing them in the name of the Lord, pray over them, okay? So what if I said to you when you came up to be prayed for, you're healed according to your faith? Would you turn around and be healed? Because a prayer of faith heals the sick. Am I still in the Bible? Still in the Word? So if I would say to you, you got anointed and you got prayed for, you're healed according to your faith, to the level of your faith, to the ability of your faith. So we're finally realizing that what the scripture says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, the Apostle Paul says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, everybody say exceedingly.
Exceedingly.
Say abundantly.
Abundantly.
Above all.
Above all.
That we ask. He can go beyond what you ask. Come on, you're not as strong as that. He can go beyond what you ask. You see, that is just as important as Acts 2:38.
Yes. Yes.
Or the rest of the scriptures in the Bible. Amen?
Yes.
Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. According to the power that worketh in us. What power works in us? The Spirit of God. It is God's Spirit. Jesus would say when he heals someone, it's recorded in the scripture, it says, it's not me that is doing this, but my Father that is in me. He's doing this. Okay? So we are daring to believe God for things in the hour that we're living right now, in this day we're living in right now, that you're living in right now, that we have never believed before, and God by his word will, number one, do according to the word of his people. Now you're quiet again. God will do according to the word of his people.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Work according to our faith.
Amen.
Operate through the power that is in us.
Amen.
What power do we have in us?
Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost. See, there's enough power working in just one person in this sanctuary tonight to do exceedingly abundantly above all that that person can ask or even think. Come on, church. Come on. This is education night. We need to be re-educated talking about this. I can just picture Paul as he is pinning this epistle to the Ephesians. He has such a revelation of God's power that he can't even produce enough adjectives to describe it. He's so excited about it. So uplifted about it. He's just trying to find the words, the adjectives to express this. It is exceedingly. He puts another one. He says abundantly, abundant above all that we could ever verbalize or comprehend. And it is in us to speak the word, to believe the word, to receive the word, come to pass. You don't have to beg for it. You've heard me say that before. You can't buy it. You can't complete a college course to learn how to use it. You already have it. When you receive the infilling, the baptism of God's Spirit in your life, he gave it to you.
Amen.
He gave it to you. It is in you. And you need to let it out. How you let it out? Sometimes you need to speak. You see, the words of life and death is in the tongue. Belief is in the tongue. We speak it. Why does God require us to speak it? It's called positive reinforcement. I can believe it, but if I speak it, I'm reinforcing. I'm hearing myself say it. I believe God can do anything. I believe God can do anything. I believe the possibility. If it's according to his will, he can do it. According to the will of God, I believe God, you can do this. I speak it. I hear myself saying it. If you hear people say, well, it's not going to happen, after a while you keep believing it's not going to happen. We're getting ready for it. Oh, I'll come back to that phrase. Please don't use that phrase behind this pulpit if I'm in earshot of you. God's not getting ready to do anything. He's already doing it. He already has got it set in motion. Come on. It's already moving. You got to speak it. Got to talk about it. You're not going to have the children of Vacation Bible School unless you go out and invite children to Vacation Bible School. And I know some of you has been out there hitting the streets, dropping off flyers, talking to parents. Amen. Joe would not have called me Sunday afternoon and said, well, there's a good possibility maybe 25 or 26 kids will be here. Where they come, I don't know if they're going to come or not. Joe doesn't know if they're going to come or not. But he was out there with his team inviting them, asking them to come. You're not going to get a crop until you plant the seed. You can be a farmer and call yourself a farmer and stand in that field and you just stand there day. You go visit day in and day out looking for the beans to come sprouting up or the corn to come sprouting up. And one day it finally dawns on you while you're not seeing anything out in the field. Oh, man, I forgot to go plant the seed. I forgot to plant the seed. How could I forget to do that? You're not going to have a crop unless you plant the seed. You're not going to have kids show up to VPS or someone to get baptized. Someone says, oh, I see that in the scripture now. I want to be baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ until you plant the seed.
Yep.
Faith is planting the seed.
Yes.
Once I plant the seed, it's up to God to grow it. I'm not talking about just name it and claim it. Tonight, I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about blab it and grab it. I'm not talking about that either. I'm not just talking about material wealth or possession. I'm talking about speaking into existence. Speak into existence.
Yeah. Yes.
See, Pastor, that's way out there. It's only way out there if you're so way behind.
Amen. Come on, there you go.
I'm not teaching you anything that's not in the Word of God. It's in the Word of God. Amen?
Yeah.
The salvation of lost loved ones. I had to speak it. God, would you visit them in their heart, in their dreams, at nighttime? Would you speak to them while they're laying on their bed at nighttime?
Yes.
Speak it, speak it, speak it. The healing of our bodies. Anybody want to heal? Oh, I want to be healed. Oh, well, come forth. Let's believe God. As your faith is, so be it unto you. You see, you come and get prayed for and expect the ministry to do whatever. The oral is a type of the spirit. It's not a magic oral. It represents the spirit of God. So anointing you in the name of the Lord. But it's got to have faith and believe that God's able to do the impossible. Why do we hear of more miracles in third world countries than we do in America, North America? Why do we hear more missionary stories about the awesome power of God? And I've just heard story after story after story after story, garters falling off of people's necks. This is happening, that's happening, because they have nothing else but to believe the Word of God. When somebody says, if you come up here, God will heal your body. And they've walked for 20 miles or 25 miles. They've walked overnight to get to where the revival was at. They've walked and believed, God, if I get there. It's like the woman who pressed away through the crowd, spent all of her money and all the doctors that was all around there. She had no other choice except, God, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. Virtue flowed from him. Who touched me? I feel like speaking in tongues right now.
Hallelujah.
I'm talking about speaking into existence, the restoration of backsliders. I'm talking about the unity of our families.
Amen.
Heal my family.
Amen.
I'm talking about the protection, the blood of Jesus Christ over our children.
Amen.
Speak it, believe it. We need to grab hold of the thing that the Word has promised us as a people, as followers, as believers of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm telling you, and I have never been more firmly convinced of anything in my life, that God is doing things in our midst that will literally blow our mind. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5 in the Old Testament. Habakkuk 1 and 5 says, "Behold, ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you." I mean, God is moving through a prophet and telling the people, it's going to be so awesome you won't believe it. Well, I'm a believer, but then it's so big I can't even believe it.
Hallelujah. Come on.
Someone said, "I can't believe that." And it's right there in front of their eyes.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Amen?
Come on. God is saying to the people, listen, it's going to be so awesome, so wonderful, so great. Almost sounds like President Trump, doesn't it? We're going to get so tired of winning. So tired of miracles. So tired of wonders. So tired of the awesomeness of God. God says in His Word, it's going to be so wonderful, you won't even believe it. Can we believe that? Can we believe they won't believe it? It's going to be so big, so wonderful. "Behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you." If I would tell you Sunday there's going to be 500 people here, would you believe it? I've got five of you. Thank you. I say to the church, I don't care what has happened in the past. I want to say to the church, I don't care how long things have taken in the past. I don't care whether we have ever seen it in the past. It does not mean it cannot happen now.
Amen.
Marvelous things happen now.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
God wants to do new things in the midst of this congregation, this church.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Isaiah 43, verse 18 through 19. "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert."
Hallelujah.
God can make a dry place flow with rivers.
Amen.
He can turn a wilderness into a wonderful place to be.
Amen.
There's nothing, that word is so true. Nothing is impossible with God. It's only impossible with us. If we can't believe it, if we can't ask for it. Come on. If we are going to see the new thing, we have to forget the limitations of yesterday.
Amen.
You have to forget the limitations of yesterday. I didn't say yesterday, but forget about it. This is a new day.
Amen.
You wake up in the morning, forget about Wednesday. You've got Thursday to worry about. This is a new day. What you didn't do Wednesday, you can do Thursday. If you go to bed Thursday and you get up Friday morning, thank God this is a new day. What are you going to do, Lord?
Amen.
How many of us wake up every morning and say, what are you going to do today, Lord? What marvelous new thing are you going to do today?
Thank you,
Father. Woo.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. If we're going to see the new thing, we have to forget our pre conceived ideas of how things ought to happen. Now hang on to your seat. We got preconceived ideas how things ought to happen. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. If we're going to see new things happen, we have to remove all limitations from God and our faith and realize that God wants to do something we cannot even ask or think. God, what do you... I can't think about all things you can do, God. I can't, my mind, I can't think, can't think, can't think, can't think. But God's thinking what He wants to do. He's looking for a people, looking for a church, looking for people that's going to say, God, you can do anything you want to do. Amen. God is moving. Are we going to move with Him? Are we going to complain because we couldn't find our seat when I came to church Sunday morning? Paul, oh, I'm telling you what. You better get rid of that preconceived ideas because you maybe wind up standing around the sign. So, well, I ain't going to do that. Well, bye. God's not willing to grow people who don't want to grow. If I can't get in the 10 o'clock service, I'll catch 11:30 service.
Amen.
That's all right.
If I can't get into the 10 o'clock service, I'll just go swimming. Forget it. If this church got so full, you can't be complaining because you can't find your seat. Brother Chandler and some of his cohorts have been trying to do configurations with the seats. I like this configuration because I can find if you're here in church or not because I know where you sit. Under the configuration that they want to do is, here's the idea, and this is what I love about it. I don't particularly like the configuration, but I like the vision. I like the purpose. I like the intent of it because it tells me I can get 38 more chairs in here when I do it like this. I like that. Somebody's trying to think, how can I get more chairs in a sanctuary? Amen. What does that mean? More souls in here. More people's going to be in the service.
Yeah.
More going to see the power of God, the worship of God, lifting Him up, magnifying Him. Whoa, what's God going to do this coming Sunday? What's God going to do? Who's going to be healed this Sunday? Who's going to walk out a brand new person this Sunday? Woo, glory to God. Excuse me, this is Wednesday night. You're not supposed to be real happy on Wednesday, I forgot. But God's doing a new thing. God can move on Wednesday night like He moves on Sunday morning.
Amen.
Hallelujah. In our text tonight we read, or Brother Merchant read, what God is doing in it. If you read chapter 16, you see something brewing there. Something is going on. You get down to chapter 17. God decides to change some things. And so in the text that was read tonight, the basis of our text, God is establishing the authority of the priesthood. And He does it in what seems to be a strange way. Strange way. It seems that the tribes had been fighting about who was to perform the service of the priesthood, and they all wanted to have the power and authority that came only to the chosen servants who ministered in the tabernacle. They all claimed that they were the chosen tribe and that they had been anointed of God with power and divine authority. And so God said, I'm tired of all of this fighting and bickering. Have everyone representing a tribe send a representative to the tabernacle with a rod. That's strange. That seemed awful strange. Now the strange thing here is that the tribe of Levi especially the house of Aaron, had already been appointed to the priesthood. They had the label. But hang on here right now. But they didn't have the power. I don't want a label of an apostolic church, but not have the power of an apostolic church. I don't want to be labeled as an apostolic Pentecostal and not have the power of an apostolic. Amen. They had separated themselves from the rest of the nation by their outward physical restrictions and their refusal to touch the unclean thing, yet there was no visible show of power and authority. They were God's chosen, and they had everything down pat. But there was no power moving in the people. And so God calls for the tribes to come to the tabernacle, to the church. And he says, I will show you who I have anointed to minister in the nation of Israel. He simply tells them, quit fighting among yourselves and just get into my presence, and I will make manifest the anointed power of my spirit. Things go better in the presence of God. Things go better in the spirit of God when it is flowing among the people. Second thing that seemed different about this story is this. God said, bring your walking sticks into the temple. These rods or these walking sticks were family heirlooms passed down from generation to generation. Whoever had that walking stick, he was the head of the family. He was the one that would give direction. I don't know, these sticks could have been 100 years old, passed down. It doesn't make any difference how your heritage is if it's a dry heritage. I'm going to say it again. I don't care how long you've been in Pentecost, if you're dry, God's not interested in your heritage. Dead, dry walking sticks that had not become fruit in years. Sticks that had once been attached to a living, growing tree, but for years had not been productive. There was no sap left in that stick. There was no retention of moisture in that stick. They were dead and dry. Let me say this, as pastor, don't claim Pentecost as your heritage for who was your parents or your grandparents, and you go on back, whatever generation will go back, and yet today you're dry. You don't have the same zip and the same faith and the same expectation as those that went before you. Your grandparents used to dance in the church. Your grandparents would come and have revival for 6 or 7 days and get up, may last until midnight, get up next day and go to work. No complaining. We have spoiled ourselves, church. No, I'll get to the good stuff. Hang on. We don't need to become dry walking sticks. Come on. Don't need to be dry walking sticks with dry attitudes and dry minds and refusing to see what God wants to do for us, because it lies within the side of it. If you're dry, you can't get much moisture. If the Spirit's not flowing inside of you, then you're not much anointed in spirit. Amen. If you won't say it, I'll say it for you. Amen. There's a difference. I was driving along today. I put a CD in that my wife got at a yard sale for a dollar. And I put that in the player of the truck. I turned off. I've got XM radio. I got tired of hearing the world bickering over politics. Over the junk and the garbage and the fighting of the confusion of this world, who's right, who's wrong. I'm driving today, I'm tired of hearing your junk, and I push that button on that CD, and I get to listen to the things of God and the worship of the Spirit that fill that cab of that truck. I'm telling you something, we're living in a dry, dead world. Amen. And the more you listen to this world, the drier you become. You take a living tree that's in a place, and all of a sudden the dry gets ground, there's no rain falling, and the ground gets parched. Guess what's going to happen? There's no moisture for the roots to draw from, and after a while the tree itself will dry up. If our roots are not tied down to the Spirit of God and connected in the power and the anointing of the Spirit of God in our lives, then we're going to be just as dry and grumpy and confused as the world is. More you feed yourself of the world, the more you're going to become like the world. So I pushed that button on that thing. Some of the songs I didn't care about, but it's better than what I was turning that radio listening to. Sometimes you may come to church, you don't feel like worshiping God. Worship anyway. Just try. Just try. Just try. It changes the atmosphere. It changes the atmosphere. It changes the mind. Changes the spirit. Come on. Some moisture begins to come in. Moisture begins to come in. You turn on the music. This is why, you see, you can take a grumpy old Saul, king of Israel, King Saul. Take a grumpy old Saul. And bring a David in with his harp, start singing, and all the spirits has been trying to flood his mind and his spirit leave. As soon as David quits playing and leaves the presence of the king, here comes those spirits back in again, trying to confuse him in anger. If you're not careful, you'll try to kill the very thing that gives you hope in your life. After a while, Saul tried to kill David. Don't try to get rid of the very thing that is the essence of your life. You need to find the moisture of the presence of God and stick your roots in there. You see those tap roots, those come out from the tree. I don't know how, whether it's a small tree or a big tree, those roots go down. They have it called tap roots. It goes even further down. Why do they go down further? Because they're looking for the moisture. When you get deeper in God, you get closer to the moisture that sustains your life. And if you got moisture flowing in those tap roots coming up through the root system of the tree, guess what's going to happen? Those trees are going to have leaves on it. But in a time of drought, what does the tree's leaves do? They begin to curl up. Don't get your spirit curled up. When I see somebody with their spirit curled up and they're just a little grumpy and snarly, it's because there's no moisture flowing in. There's no spirit flowing into them. Maybe I'm teaching like this because I can't see good on my glasses. God says, I'm going to take what you thought was dead. And without any sorrow, sunlight, or rain, and I'm going to produce almonds overnight. Come on, church. Church is not dead. I said the church is not dead yet. You see, one of the things that confused that situation was that if you think about it, once you plant almond seed, it takes at least 5 years for it ever to produce almonds. Has to be the right kind of soil. Has to be the right amount of sunlight. Has to be the right amount of rain. That's why here in the United States, you don't find almonds just growing anywhere. You find them in certain climate areas. Stockton, California has a huge area where almonds are growing. There's other maybe parts of the country as well, but the climate's going to be right. God says, let me tell you something. I'll do it if I want to do it. I can do it overnight if I want to do it overnight. There's no dead church. I can create a live church. I can create the power of the Holy Ghost. I can take 120 people in an upper room, hallelujah, and pour out of my spirit and come like a sound of a rushing mighty wind and fill all the house, all them sitting in there. I can pour out my spirit on whom I want to. I'm going to take that stick that was designed to bring forth fruit, but now has just become a showpiece for someone's craftsmanship, and it's going to bear fruit again. Let me tell you what, church. The church should not be just a show place. It's a place where fruit is produced. Fruit of the Spirit. Love. Kindness. Long-suffering. Am I doing okay? Yeah. I just need a little encouragement, that's all. I'm going to establish an apostolic authority before the apostles ever come on the scene. And I'm going to do it by taking your ideas, your timetables, your expectations, and blow them out of the water. You see, this is the amazing thing of God. He does things that we don't expect. We don't even understand. We just believe, God, you can do it. You can do it, God. If anybody can do this, you can do it. This is why I've heard people say it. I've heard my own family members say this. This is a God thing. Have you ever said that? When something unexpected, you didn't see it happen, you didn't know it was going to happen, take place, only thing you can say, this is a God thing. God did this. I didn't know it was possible. I didn't know God could turn life around. I didn't know He could change things. It's a God thing. I didn't look to get a new job, but it was a God thing. It's a better job, pays more money. I didn't know it was possible. God can take little and make much out of it. He can take a dead stick and grow almonds. He can take a church that hasn't seen revival and outpouring of the Spirit of God for a long time, and for you know it, there's a power of moving of the Spirit of God, and people by the hundreds are receiving the Holy Ghost. If He can do it in the upper room, He can do it in Warsaw at Community Life Center. If 3,000 can receive in one day in Jerusalem, He's no respecter of person. He's no respecter of city. He can pour out the Holy Ghost on anybody He wants to pour the Holy Ghost out upon. He can make you move your seat. God is doing something. He's not getting ready to do it. He is doing something. He's doing it in this hour and day that we're living in. We've carried the name and the label for a long time, but we've got to see the active moving of the power of God through faith. We've separated ourselves from the world, and we don't touch the unclean things, but we have not had the power and authority as we want to see it happen in our lives. We can't come along and say, well, it's not possible. God doesn't do it anymore. Yes, He does. He's never stopped doing it. We have stopped believing Him for it. Use me, Lord. Use me. Between the hours of 6 a.m. and 8 a.m., because after that I'm really busy. I'm closing. I believe one reason why that God used Aaron, because in Exodus chapter 4, verse 30, this becomes important. Exodus chapter 4, verse 30 becomes important. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. If we get to the place where we're doing what God said, you're going to see signs and wonders in the midst of the people. He didn't try to decide what God really meant and what wasn't really that important. You know, our problem is we decide personally what is really important about God, whether we want to do it or we don't want to do it, whether we want to be involved, whether we don't want to be involved with it. We decide. Sometimes we decide wrongly. And what? Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and prayers. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. You know how hard it is to get the church together to pray? Romans 16 and 17. Now beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Ephesians 4:14. That we henceforth no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. 1 Timothy 1:3, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went unto Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Let me tell you, there is no other doctrine.
Come on. Amen.
There is no other doctrine. 1 Timothy 4:6-16. If thou put brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to the exhortation, to doctrine. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. I said, Pastor, why are you teaching this tonight? Because I'm trying to adhere to the doctrine, that I might save myself and those that would hear me. I want to see this building full. I want to see us running 3, 4, 5 services. I want to see and speak a building into existence over here. And then one out in front. And one over here. One back there. I've heard people say, I don't like big churches. Well, you're going to have a miserable time in heaven. That's a big church, and it all gets together in heaven. From the north, the south, the east, and the west. That's going to be a big church. Amen. You're going to be awful nervous. You get to the pearly gates, excuse me, how many's in there? It's a lot. pretty good size. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ. Almonds. Faith towards God, repentance from dead works, baptism in Jesus' name, infilling of His Spirit as evidence by speaking in other tongues, a holy life separated unto God. You see, what we got to get used to understanding is that when you look at the Scriptures, and how many ways Jesus healed people. He spoke the word, they were healed. He touched them, they were healed. They touched, as one woman did, the hem of His garment, they were healed. He made a mud pie and put it on the eye of a man, and his eye was healed. You can't restrict God's ability to heal or deliver. Well, I got the Holy Ghost this way, so everybody should get the Holy Ghost like I got it. Never happened. Told a Baptist deacon a Bible study, him and his wife. Never forget it. I've said it before. She come, got baptized in Jesus' name. He got baptized in Jesus' name. She'd come and she'd tarry. He never would come for the Holy Ghost, but she would tarry and pray and wear the saints out every service. One day he decided it was time. He walked up on the side of the pulpit, stood there, raised both his hands, and started speaking in tongues, just as quiet and calm. And the Holy Ghost is flowing. And she, his wife, got mad. Because he just walked in and got the Holy Ghost. She finally got the Holy Ghost. They're living. As far as I know, it's been 25, maybe, well, it's got to be probably 35. Or more years ago, and they're still living for God. God's not interested in the titles that we hold. He's looking for a people. He's coming back for a people that's called by His name. He's not coming back for denominations or titles. He's not coming back for dead sticks. He's coming back for sticks that He put life into, that blossoms and produces fruit. Almonds overnight.